Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah is just next to last of the Old Testament books, and so it's not that difficult to find. It's just two books before Matthew, if you think cross-testamentally. Y'all didn't even know that's a word, did you? I just made it up. Okay, Zechariah chapter 3. What a blessing this chapter is. Only 10 verses, and actually I'm only planning on dealing with 7. I may have to talk about the 8th one a little bit and going somewhere with it. But this one, I do want to mention this. A Joshua is mentioned here. It is not the Joshua you know the most about. This is not the Joshua who followed Moses. This is another Joshua. There are more than one. And we've had some around here before. But there's more than one in the Bible as well. And this one is a Joshua of the return from captivity. He was high priest at the time that the Israelites returned from Babylon back to the land of Israel to build the temple, to rebuild the city and everything there, but especially during the rebuilding time of the rebuilding of the temple. Zechariah chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head. That was the hat of the priest. They set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. My message tonight is those that stand by. Let's pray. Father, come to you right now, and Lord, just look into you to speak to our hearts. Father, I cannot do it, but I've learned that you can. Father, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us tonight, draw us nigh unto thee, and stir us up in the things of God. Lord, it's a time that everybody's schedules are changed, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's not. And yet right now, we want to go back just to the old paths of looking to you, trusting you to speak to our hearts and encourage us, challenge us, convict us, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. This passage here, there's so much. I really don't want to preach the passage itself. Joshua is said to be one as a brand plucked from the burning or from the fire. And I think about that. I said his iniquity, talks about his iniquity. The best I can figure is that Joshua, although he was the high priest, he got over in Babylon and he took on some of the ways of Babylon. You know, he was truly the priest. He was in the line to be the high priest, but he played around with some things. I just picture it. I don't really have anything but what's right here. But I believe he got in there. He got into some things he shouldn't have gotten into. He got into some messes. And, you know, the devil's standing. You notice at the beginning here, he's standing at his right hand to resist him. Here he is. He's saying, hey, you can't put him in. I've got your list. Santa Claus has his list. Well, Satan has his list too. He's been watching you, and he's making a list of things about you. And every one of them's bad, you know. And he takes that list to the Lord, and he says, Lord, look at them. You can't do anything with them. You can't bless them. You can't save them. You can't work with them. Look at what they are. Look at what they've done. Look at the mess they've made of their lives sometime in the past. And you know what he does? He says, get out of here. Of course, today he says the blood's been shed. But here he says, and by the way, I think it's interesting, we always talk about Michael, the archangel, saying to a devil, the Lord rebuke thee. Do you realize that the Lord is speaking here, and he says, the Lord rebuke thee? He just wants to make sure the devil knows who's rebuking him, okay? He comes in, and you come in, he says, he rebukes him, and he says, this is a brand plucked out of the fire. And he's with filthy garments, but we're going to give him some new garments. We're going to take those filthy ones off. We're going to put some clean ones on him. We're going to set that mitre on his head. What he's saying is, I'm going to give him the authority as the high priest. I'm going to place him back in there because I'm the one cleaning him up. Isn't it amazing, God, who can clean us up and use us and do things with our lives? And the devil would say, oh, you can't do that with him. And God says, watch me. You know, watch what I can do. I can take someone and I can clean them up and I can set them up and I can put them somewhere and I can use them for my glory. He says, I'm going to do that. You get into this thing as you go on down, and you'll find there at the end of verse 5, it says, and the angel of the Lord. Boy, we're going to go into the angel of the Lord, but just about every time I found it, that's Jesus Christ. So I figure that's probably him right here. The angel of the Lord stood by. But notice also in verse 7. He says in verse 7, the angel of the Lord in verse 6 protest unto Joshua. Protest. He kind of throws a challenge at him now. Now, you just got to remember, God had just defended him in front of the devil. And then he comes to Joshua, and he says, you better straighten up, man. You better do right. You know, isn't that the way God does with us? I mean, the devil comes and accuses him. He says, get out of here. I don't want to listen to you. And then after the devil's gone, he turns to us and says, now I want this out of you. I want you to straighten up. I want you to live right. I want you to obey. If you will, I'll bless you. And so he says here to Joshua in verse 7, if thou wilt walk in my ways. He said, this is an if. Now, you know what? This is not salvation. This is blessing from service. This is rewards we're talking about now. He said, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. I noticed up in the verse there, I think it was verse 5, that the angel of the Lord stood by. I noticed here that he says, I'm going to let you walk or have you places to walk among these that stand by. In verse 14 of chapter 4, this is another group. This is talking about the two witnesses. But he says, then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. And I started doing it. I said, hey, how are all these people that are standing by? I mean, all they do is they stand by. They're just standing. In some places it says they stood by. Some places it says they stand before. But they're just all standing around. You say, does God call upon us to stand around? Not stand around, but he calls upon us to stand by. There's some things that he's talking about here. Now, a lot of those who are standing by in the Old Testament are the angels. No doubt about it. The angel of the Lord stands by. The angels, the heavenly beings, they stand by. But you know what? There's also faithful Christians that are going to stand by. He just told him here in chapter 3 and verse 7, let you walk among them that stand by. That's pretty close to standing by. You also find in Psalm 24. Psalm 24, you see over here, there's so much, but verse 3. It says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Now the main thing I want you to see here is that there's a picture. There's a picture of those, not only the angels and the heavenly beings, but the faithful saints of God. This is Old Testament, I understand. God lets us use these pictures, so don't get all cramped up or you can't enjoy it because it's Old Testament. I'll tell you what, you get in here and he says there's going to be a group of people and they're going to get to stand by. Now what is that talking about? Well, you know what? Got looking. It's found lots of times in the Scripture. Look at Judges chapter 3. This is not heavenly at all. This is earthly we're getting ready to look at. In Judges chapter 3, you have the story of Ehud and Eglon. Ehud is the left-handed fellow that makes him a cubit long dagger, and he goes and he gives it as a gift to Mr. Fat Eglon. He kills him with his dagger. And the way he does it, at that time Israel was a conquered country by the kingdom ruled by Eglon. And he comes to Eglon and he says, I have a gift for you. But he says, It's a secret gift, Eglon. Now, what does he do at that time? In Judges chapter 3, down in verse 18, it says, and when he had made an end to offer the present, see, there was another present, an open present, he says he sent away the people that bear the present. This is Ehud, sends them away. He's Israelite. He says, but he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. Now what happens? Well, this king had a group of people standing by. They were standing here and standing over here and ready to do this. And Ehud says, I have a secret errand for you. And Eglon says, silence. Don't say a word. I don't want anybody to know about this one. And he sends everybody away and everybody who stood by. Now, that's one example, but there's a number of these. Let me show you one more. We just go to one more of these. It's more of a general nature. In Luke chapter 19, there's several of these in the Bible. What am I showing you? These are the things that you read by and you never pay any attention to until God starts putting some of the pieces together for you. I want you to know that God wants some people who will just stand by and be ready to serve Him. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus is telling one of His parables. It's the parable of the 10 pounds. And we're going to jump right in the middle of it because I want you to see something. Verse 20 says, and another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. You know what he did? He said to them that stood by. He said, take care of him. Just get him out of here. And take what he has and give it to the man with 10 pounds. Now what does that show you? You're thinking royalty now. You're thinking kings and rulers. And you know what they did? They would have a group. They would have men, maybe officers. The high priest had officers who stood by. And when in Acts, I think it was chapter 23 I was looking at. In Acts chapter 23, when Paul said something that the high priest didn't like, he told one of the officers, stand by to strike him. You know? He didn't do it himself. He told them to do it. And so what you have is you have these kings and these men in authority would always have a group there of men, of officers, of people with specialties, and they would be there standing ready to minister to the king, ready to go out and do the bidding of the king. And you know what we are? We're supposed to be men who stand by. We're supposed to be people who are just there ready to do God's work. And it ought to be our desire. Lord, would you help me to be one who can just stand by and be ready to serve you? You say, how's that fit? Well, you know, the thing is, he said it's those who are faithful, right? Those who walk in my ways, those who keep my charge. He also says that God chooses you for this in a way. And again, I know I'm putting some things together, but in Psalm 65, these are things that as you put them together, it's kind of a picture more than anything. But in Psalm 65 and verse 4, David is writing this, and he said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. I want you to know something, believer. Everyone who knows Jesus Christ as Savior, you're saved by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's only through Him. It's nothing you do. And no believer is different than another when it comes to salvation. Your salvation is just as complete as Paul's was complete. Your salvation is just as complete as any martyr over the last 2,000 years' salvation was complete. You have the whole thing. There's nothing withheld from you. But when it comes to how God is going to use and bless us and how He's going to reward us in eternity and those other things. Listen, there are differences among believers. The Bible says that those that suffer will reign with Him. Does that not tell you that maybe those who don't suffer for the Lord might not get to reign so highly? Don't you believe that there's going to be some differences in heaven? There's going to be some differences in how God uses people and what He does with them when we get up to be with Him? I'll tell you what, if you're the official shoe shine boy or girl in heaven, you're going to be happy you're there. And you're going to enjoy your shoe shine job. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that you're going to be glad you're there and glad you're serving God. But I believe there's going to be a time of disappointment when you arrive, when you realize what you could have done for God and you did not do. I mean, there's going to be some realization there and say, Lord, why did I not give myself more unto You when I had a chance? I want to look at those that stand by, just five things about them here tonight. Look at Revelation chapter 7. We're going to kind of start at the end. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 15. We're just going to pick these out of places where people are standing by in some way or another. The phraseology won't always be the same, but in every case, they're there serving God. It says in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 15, therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. The first thing I want you to know about they that stand by, they're the ones who serve God in His temple. They're the ones who not... And by the way, when I say this, they're not serving themselves. They're not even serving the people. They're serving God. When I say serve God, I mean they're ministering to the Lord. They're doing for Him. You know what? We're so often, we're trying to do something for somebody. Boy, that's a kind of a... I call that thing when you... Russian roulette, you know, when you got bullets in part of it and no bullets in some of it, you don't know when it's going to hit and when it's going to miss. You go around and you do for people. Sometimes it's a blessing to you and a blessing to them. Sometimes they turn on you. It's not a 100% thing, folks. If you're serving others, you're going to be disappointed so much that you're likely to quit doing it. Because you're going to have some people that, yeah, once in a while, you're going to have somebody just so blessed and they just love you and it's wonderful. You're going to have people that will forget you and turn on you and don't care what you did for them and even get mad when you try to help them. You're going to have all sorts. And the thing is, if your goal is to go out there and, oh, I just want to serve people, you're going to be disappointed and you're going to be probably an unhappy person before this life is over with. Do you know what? You can never be disappointed if your goal is to serve God and to minister to Him. If we could understand to stand by, you know what that means? The King is up here on His throne and you're just one of the ones over here, and as soon as He calls your name or somebody says, go do this, go do it. And you're there, you're just there to serve, and you've given yourself to His service, not your own, not what you can do. It's not your ambition. It's not what you want. It's what He wants. We would get that into our lives. Look with me, three verses real quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 8. He's setting up the service of God, the Levites. And he says in Deuteronomy 10:8, at that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister unto Him and to bless His name unto this day. You'll find numerous references to Israel and to those Levites and to the priests and how their job in that temple was to minister to the Lord. They were to give their hearts to serving Him and giving their lives for Him. It is a mindset. It is a heart condition. We're out there and we're trying to get this done. What for? You think you're trying to serve God, but your heart's not in serving God. Your heart's in doing something. Your heart's in maybe helping somebody. That's good. There's a lot of people need help, folks. What I read tonight broke my heart, but I'm going to tell you what, I get one like that every few days. You get another one. You can't do it for everybody. You used to say, what do you do? You know what you have to do is you have to try to say, Lord, what do You want me to do? I'm so good at forgetting. Listen, this is a wonderful thing. I mean, really, when you're trying to figure out God's will, it's a wonderful thing. You know, I told the Lord this afternoon, I said,
if I'm supposed to read that tonight and we take up offering for them, help me remember to bring it upstairs. I remember to bring it upstairs. That's why we had it. If I'd forgotten, left it downstairs, I would have figured, Lord, my forgetter is a great way to test God, you know? If He make me remember something, it must be of Him. And you know what? How do you know? You trust Him. That's all you know. I mean, you're all infallible. I'm sorry. I'd like to meet you, but I don't want to be around you too much. You're just going to make me look real bad. You know? You do the best you can. You go out there, you try to serve up. But when it comes right down to it, what you come to is you realize you're ministering to Him. You look, I'm not even going to go here, but in 1 Samuel 3:1, it talks about Samuel in the temple or in the house of the Lord there, and it says he ministered to the Lord. In fact, there's about 3 or 4 verses talking about him ministering to the Lord as a little boy. Growing up in the house of the Lord, he was ministering to the Lord. And you know what? God has called us to minister to Him, to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What can I do for you today? He said, God doesn't need anything from us. See, we get that mindset. He doesn't need anything from us, but we need to minister to Him. And it is a sense, it is a way of thinking that'll really revolutionize your Christian life. Everybody's out. You know, we get stressed, don't we? We get so stressed, Lord, I'm trying to get this done for you, and everything's messing up. Oh, I'm so upset. You know what can help? If you're really ministering to the Lord, you come to a frustrating thing, you say, Lord, by the way, if this is what you want me to do today, then you're going to have to show me how to get through these obstacles so I can accomplish it. Other than that, it's not going to get done. But if you don't want it done, that's your business too. I'll just do my best and I'll trust you for it. It's wonderful. You say, preacher, you do that all the time? Nope. I forget. I get in the flesh. I get into doing it in my strength. But I will tell you this. I do that. And when I do that, it's wonderful. It takes the stress off of you. And you know what I found out? Usually when I do that, I get more done than I do when I work myself to death. I put everything into it. You know what? I'm trying to serve the Lord, but I'm serving myself. I'm trying to get done what I wanted to get done today. I need to get done what He wants me to get done today. And you know what? If He doesn't make a way for me to get it done, that's His business. And if there's something from the devil or Satan that's fighting Him, if He doesn't take care of it, what am I going to do if the devil, the Lord, ignores Him? You know, what am I going to do? You know, if He can't get through those obstacles, I sure can't. And you know what? You turn it back on the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just serving You. Do You want me to get this done or not? And you see those things going on, and you find out that we're ministering to ourselves so many times when God wants us to minister to Him. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 names this group of men there at the church of Antioch. Verse 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You see, in the New Testament church, they were ministering to the Lord here in the church of Antioch. And these churches, they ministered to God. There's some other verses that talk about this. This idea of just doing for the Lord. Not only that, those that stand by not only serve God in His temple, this second one is very much related, but in Psalm 135, verses 1 through 3, we find that they're offering praise to God. Psalm 135, beginning in verse 1, praise you the Lord. Praise you the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O you servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord. You standing by? Well, sing His praises. You know, why don't we praise God? I got to think, what do you praise? What do you get excited about and brag about? Something you're excited about, isn't it? I mean, some of you know, we don't have too many grandparents, but you know, if you've got grandkids, you ever notice grandparents? You know, parents may not have pictures of their kids. I mean, they're dealing with stuff all over them every day from them, you know. And, you know, they're seeing them all the time. But you try to find a grandparent that doesn't have pictures of the grandkids. Look at here. You know? They like brag on how many they've got. Yeah, I'll meet somebody out if I go preach. And I don't do a lot of preaching out, but this went up in Brother Terry's church up there and preached up there at missions time. A fella came to it, and he was talking about his kids and his grandkids, told me how many kids he had, told me how many grandkids he had, and I've forgotten, of course, but, you know, remember that forgetter I've got. It works so well. But he knew. I mean, he liked to tell how many he had. And he'd stand there talking to me. He said, "That one over there, that's mine. That one over there, that was mine too." And we'd talk a little while longer. He said, "That one up there on the front row, that one's mine right there." You know, he's proud of his kids. That's okay, isn't it? You know, he's excited about that. He bragged on his children and his grandchildren and talked about them. Why? Because he was excited about them. You watch somebody, they get into something, they get excited about it, and they start bragging on something. You see somebody in sports, they got somebody they're bragging on. Somebody who can do something that, you know, is kind of abnormal for anybody to be able to do, and they become our heroes. You know, and so, did you see what he did? Did you hear he broke their record? You know what you're doing? You're praising them. That's what you're doing. You're praising them. You know why we don't praise God? Because we're not very excited about God anymore. You lose your excitement about the things of God. If you were excited about the Lord, you'd praise Him a little bit. "Lord, boy, you're so good today. You helped me today. Lord, you know what God did for me, folks?" You know, I mean, you just go on. You don't care anymore what people think. Well, that's what those who stood by, they offered praise to God. Psalm 84 and verse 4. This goes along with this point. But it says here, "Blessed are they that dwell in my house. They will be still praising thee, Selah." You know what? You dwell in the house of the Lord, you're excited about it. Can you imagine what it would be like for God's sake? And you say, "Oh, when we get in heaven, there's millions of people, and I'm just one of the believers. And even if I'm faithful, how would God ever give me a chance to stand by Him?" But you know what? David was so concerned about giving everybody a chance that during his ministry, he had more priests than could ever take care of the temple. You know, or the tabernacle as it was then. He had so many priests that never be able to serve. You know what he did? He set up 24 courses, they're called, groups. And they would take, I think, people argue about how they did it, but I think they probably took a month at a time. You know, they'd take a month at a time. And those men within that course, and you'll find over Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, is part of one of those priests in the New Testament, and his time comes up. And they would take a lot to figure out who would do the certain special sacrifices. And he got to do that sacrifice of the altar of incense there in the evening. It was a very special thing to do that there when God revealed to him that John the Baptist would be born of him and Elizabeth. But you come in there, you know what it is they got to do it. You know what they did? They just kind of rotated that thing. Man, you know how much time you get when you get out of this world? You know how much time God's got to work with? Hey, you've been here for 2 million years. Today's your day. You get to stand by today. Ah, this is my day. I don't know how it works. You don't either. So my guess is as good as yours. Right? But I mean, God says if we will be faithful, He'll let us walk among those that stand by. I thought about that. I said, you know, here are all those angels, and there's Michael over there, and there's Gabriel, and those are the only two we know the names of, except Mr. Lucifer, and he's not there. Okay, but you know, you have all these here and everything, and you come up, and you see those men, and you know what He says? He says, if you'll be faithful, I'll let you walk among them. Ooh. You know, you say, that doesn't excite me. Well, you just don't have any holiness about you at all. I'll tell you what, it ought to be exciting to be able to serve God and say, hey, we're going to get to just be a part of it, and maybe one of these days, God will just let me stand by for a little bit. And you just say, hey, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Oh, they're singing praises. I'll sing with them, you know. And then, hey, you want me to go do that? Oh, yeah, let's go. You say, well, no, you know, listen. We don't understand what's going on, but we do know that those who stand by get to praise Him. We ought to get excited and say, Lord, I just want to get practice up praising You a little bit so that when I get up there, maybe You'll let me get up there and get in that choir, and by then my voice won't bellow like it does now. It'll sound so sweet. And I'm going to get up there and sing praises to You. Whoa, what a blessing. Do you know what? That's not all that happens when you stand by. There's a sense we stand by today, isn't there? But look at Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. I'm going to try to get through about three more points real quickly here. Daniel chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. Daniel, of course, he's always getting visions from the Lord. Then he has to have somebody come and interpret those visions. He says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Daniel 7, 16 now. I came near unto one of them that stood by. Oh, this is one of the guys that stands by. He says, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. You say, well, that's the angels, right? Well, yeah, probably so. In this case, I don't have any trouble with that. That's an angel. But you know what? When he wanted to know what the interpretation of his vision was, he checked with one of those guys standing by. Why? Because the guy standing by knew what was going on. You see, the thing is, if you're in the court of the king and you're standing by, you're hearing a lot of stuff. You see who comes in. You see who leaves. You see who. What you hear what they say. You hear what the king says. You hear what's going on. You're getting close in now. You're in that inner circle to some degree. And you know what's going on. I'm going to tell you what. If you're willing to stand by him, God will show you some things he wouldn't show you if you're out here playing your own games. He just give you a little more information. Oh, I love Psalm 27 and verse 4. David says in Psalm 27, 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. He says, I just want to stand by. He didn't use those words there, but that's what he's saying. He says, I just want to stand by. He says, first of all, I get to behold the beauty of the Lord. Oh, wow. Oh, that's good. I didn't know it'd be this good. I said, let me just look again. Yeah, I just got to see. I want to see the beauty of the... He says, I want to be able to inquire in His temple. You get close enough. And in fact, could I ask a question? You know, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He gets all men liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't chew you out for asking the question. Isn't that wonderful? Ever had a teacher chew you out because you asked the question? That is the dumbest question I've ever... No, you don't want to hear that. Do you know, God never does that. He always says, I welcome that question. Even if it is a dump. No, he wouldn't say that. He'd just say, let me help you with that. You know, you get in and say, can I ask something? Well, sure, sure. Well, how did this work after all? He says, oh, let me tell you about that. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Just inquire in his temple. He says, you get close, the closer you get to the Lord, the more he tells you, the more he lets you in on things, the more he tells you what's going on. Psalm 25 and verse 14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. You want to know what God has? Stand by and say, Lord, I'm here. I want to serve you. Would you show me something today? What a blessing. Number four, I said, they serve God in his temple. They offer praise to the Lord. They learn the wisdom of God. And then they are sent forth by the Lord. Zechariah again. Back to Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 5. And I know I'm going quickly. And really I'm pulling from a lot of different visions and stories and everything. And I do not have time to give background. I just want to get you the feel of being one that stands by. And in Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, and the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. See, they're standing before the Lord. Lord, here I am. I'm just standing before you. You got something for me? He says, go. Do this. You know what? Those who stand by get sent out to do something. You ever notice that you're just there, you get sent on an errand? I've told you the story how when I was a teenager, I decided the Lord had called me to preach. I think I was 16, maybe 17. I think it was 16, though, at the time still. And man, I was just one of these wallflowers. I sat there. Nobody knew I was there. I wasn't even sure if I was there. Most of the time, mentally, I probably was somewhere else anyway, you know. But, you know, the thing is I was not a leader. I was nothing that way. And I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, you called me, and I need to serve you. And what can I do? And I just started looking for jobs to do. I mean, when the teachers and the workers started putting chairs out, I was there. You know what I found out? Pretty soon, they started asking me to do stuff. You know, they'd send me to get the music for youth choir. They'd send me to get some chairs. Or they'd say, would you set this up? And I was always ready to do it. I'm not bragging on myself. It's just my desire. That was my heart at that time, and that's all I wanted. I've had many times in between since then and now that my heart hasn't been right. But my heart, I wanted to serve God. And I said, Lord, I'm nobody, but I just want to be there for You. And man, I'd just kind of hang around, and I'd get there early, and I'd hang around late. And we lived, I used to know the exact distance. I think it was a couple miles from the church. And lots of times I'd just say, you know, didn't have the car at the time, and I'd say, could I just walk to church? And so I'd walk to church. And so I'd just get there so I could get there early when it was exciting and things were going on. And you know, you get there early, you stay around late, and you know what? Every once in a while somebody says, what about this? I say, I can do that. You know? I want to go out. And you know what? You stand by and they'll send you out. You know what? You stand by the Lord, you'll find that He'll say, would you do this for me? You say, yes, sir. Let me go do it. I just want to serve You, Lord. You know, you stand by and He gives you something to do. You find over there as they ministered to the Lord. In Acts chapter 13, it says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I called them. You know what they were doing? They were standing by. They were praising God. They were ministering to Him. They were learning from Him. There were teachers there. And God says, oh, by the way, I already sent you out now. I got something for you to do. There's a job for you, and what a blessing it is to serve that God. And the last thing I have, Psalm 134. I came across this verse a few months ago, memorized it. Of course, I've forgotten it, and memorized it and forgotten it, but I like it. Behold, bless you the Lord. This is Psalm 134, verse 1. Behold, bless you the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. The last thing I want you to know about those that stand by is they stand by all night long. All night long till the morning comes. You know what God's called us to do? He's called us just to stand by. The night, the Bible says day star's going to rise one of these days. You know, light's going to come, the sun of righteousness is going to rise. But you know what? We're in a time of night. The Bible says we're not for the night, though. We're of the day. And we're going to live as in the day, even though it's night. We're supposed to live for God and do His work and serve Him. You know what we're supposed to be like? We're supposed to be like Paul and Silas down in the dungeon in Philippi at midnight singing the praises of God and preaching and praising Him. You know what you get down there? This is a time of night, and a lot of people, they're getting discouraged now, and I understand why. If you read the paper a little more than you do read that Bible, you're going to be discouraged, folks. I'm just telling you, if you spend more time in the newspaper and watching the news on TV and everything else than you spend in that Bible, you're going to be a saddened, discouraged person. We'll be spending more time in that book than we do in anybody's newspaper. And if you do that, you'll find out God says, hey, yeah, it's night, but you know what? I'm the light of the world. And I'll give you strength and I'll help you and I'll be there. And you know what our attitude ought to be? Just, Lord, let me stand by. It's a long night. I'm getting kind of tired. It's darkest before dawn, remember? It seems so dark out there now. I haven't had any sleep tonight, Lord. But it's my responsibility. This is my post. I'm going to stand by, Lord. I'm just going to keep on serving. I'm just going to keep on going for You. Lord, I love You so much. Lord, I'm tired. Yeah, that's right. I don't know how. No, I'm here. I've given myself to You. Lord, I'm serving You. I've given myself, and I'm going to serve through the night, and I'm going to be here in the morning, still standing best I know how, serving God, giving my life and my heart and my all to Him, and say, Lord, here it is. I don't know what I am. I don't know what I can do, but I'm going to stand by and be ready to serve You and praise You and give my heart and my life to You. My whole business is just serving You, Lord. Even Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. You know what we need to seek? We need to seek to walk among these that stand by. Just like Joshua there, that high priest who had been in iniquity. We don't know what it was, but evidently he'd kind of messed up. And he had filthy garments on. And the devil was standing there next to the Lord accusing him and resisting him and saying, hey, you can't use him. And God says, Lord, rebuke thee. I can use him if I want to use him. Put some clean clothes on him. Put a fair mitre on his head. Then he sits overside. After he gets the devil out of there, he says, Joshua, if you'll be faithful. Says he, says What was he said over there? I was trying to get the word in my mind. But it says he actually... I'm in the wrong chapter. There we go. He says he protested unto him. Protested. He fussed at him. He says, if you'll walk in my ways, if you'll keep my charge, then I'll bless you and I'll do good for you, and you get to walk among these that stand by. He says, you see these guys over here standing by? You get to be part of them. You know what? As I read that and studied that this week, I said, Lord, I know I come far short. But if there's anything I really want in my life and in eternity, is that maybe sometime, somewhere, I could just be one of those who stand by, ready to do your bidding, ready to praise you, ready to minister to you. Someone who just stands all night at his post, says, Lord, help me just to keep on serving you. You know what? I believe if we'd have that kind of heart, that God could do great things with us, but it doesn't matter what He does with us. Our job is to stand by and say, Lord, here I am. I'm here for you and not for myself. Let's stand. I don't know what the Lord may have spoken to you tonight, but so often we can't stand by because we're not close enough to the Lord. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. And sometimes you just need to stop. I know it's Christmas and I didn't do a real Christmas message, I guess. But there's nothing like standing by the Lord and trusting in Him, letting Him work in your life. If you're here tonight, you need to just kind of give yourself to Him. I pray that you do that this evening. Barbara, if you'll just play as she plays. If you need to come, you come. We'll take our prayer request here in a minute, but we just want to give